3 o'clock hour on this Monday, as things start to get all heated up in the world of sports. We're lucky. We're the beneficiaries of an exciting Marlins team because we figured it would be a lot of kvetching and complaining about the Marlins right about now. And instead, we're celebrating them, which is really good. I think everybody feels good for a scrappy young team that you don't expect anything from. And that's exactly what you're getting from the Miami Marlins. So sweep of the Yankees. They start a series tonight at Lone Depot Park. Hopefully you'll get some crowd support at Lone Depot Park this week as well. And people will continue enjoying their Miami Marlins experience. In the meantime, you got Dolphins preseason coming up on Sunday, game number one. And you've got Canes football at the end of the month. So I don't know if you talked about this last week when I was gone, Crowder, but the news had come out, and we're going to have John Ruth on at some point in the next couple of weeks. Sebastian the Ibis has been inducted into the Mascot Hall of Fame. We know, I think it was a couple months ago where we talked about the voting results that Sebastian the Ibis got the nod, but they are going to have a ceremony for him at halftime of the Notre Dame game. Wow. So August 31st, Sebastian the Ibis will be inducted into the Mascot Hall of Fame during halftime of the Canes football opener. So stay in your seats and watch Sebastian the Ibis go in.
That is well overdue, isn't it?
Well overdue. Well
overdue. I was about to say, yeah, when I was a kid, that, like, I knew Sebastian the Ibis over the damn Allen Albert from Florida, and I'm a Gator. Like, he's known.
I wonder if it's John Ruth. We'll talk to him in the next couple of weeks. But John Ruth famously played Sebastian when I went to school in the 80s. You know, we've had him tell the story of being detained up in Tallahassee when he had the fire extinguisher out. I wonder if he gets to go in as Sebastian, or if it's the current Sebastian, or if they bring back all the Sebastians. I don't know how that works.
I think it should be John Ruth, because that was the guy that I remember.
Put him on the map. Put him on the map.
Yes.
So the first college football coaches poll came out today. Just a couple hours ago. So UM is ranked number 10 in the nation by college coaches. Yeah. Florida Gators, number 17.
I say this all the time, Hawk. I hate that everything depends on your quarterback. That's what it's ranked, the top quarterbacks. Carson Beck can spin that thing, and DJ Lagway can spin that thing, and that's why they're on there. We don't know who they're throwing the ball
to. Well, based on that, do you want to guess who number one is?
Who? Texas. Arch Manning.
Yeah.
Just to the same
You might as
point.
Well just do it by quarterback salary. That's really the way that they should do the preseason poll.
It's crazy. I wish I bring them up all the time. The 2000 Ravens, 0-2 Bucks, when football was – could be won 17-10. You can't do it. You better score 30 damn points a game to win. In college, it's probably 40. But that's what it is. It's the best quarterbacks in the nation.
No FSU. It goes 1, Texas, 2, Ohio State, 3, Penn State, 4, Georgia, 5, Notre Dame, 6, Clemson, 7, Oregon, 8, Alabama, 9 LSU, and number 10 UM.
Biggest pocketbooks is what it's becoming.
Yeah.
Hey, Hawk, I don't want to scare you. I talked about it last week. I'm talking to a lot of, you know, Ryan Clark's son, Joe Clark. He plays for the Jets now, but he was at Notre Dame. So I'm getting some insight. Notre Dame is about to be something. So that first game about to be hell.
Listen, there's a reason Notre Dame cut, and again, they're ranked number 5, UM ranked number 10. This is the coaches poll. I think you get the AP poll next week. I think the AP first poll is next week. Anyway, preseason poll. There's a reason that Notre Dame is playing in prime time at Hard Rock Stadium and is a favorite, 3.5-point favorite over UM. Notre Dame was brilliant last season, and the Canes, I mean, they faltered at the end with Cam Ward. And so now you have a little bit of an unknown. Again, you know Carson Beck is decent, but you don't know if he's going to be anywhere nearly as good as Cam Ward was. So I'm not expecting – listen, I've got my Canes pride, and I'll be betting the Canes by the time that game rolls around. Mm-hmm. Probably bet a money line, to be quite honest. I don't need your stinking points. but yeah, I'm not deluding myself either. That Notre Dame team is okay. Good.
Because I've heard that their defense is better this year. They're more talented in the secondary than they were last year. And I think two got drafted and five of them went to the league. And they said that guys this year are better. It's just, I'm just hearing it. I'm just, don't kill the messenger.
Hey, do you have that sound, Jimmy, by any chance that I sent you earlier today? Did you ever put that in the system?
Yeah, I put it in the system. Just give me a sec.
Yeah, I got to play this for you, Crow. This is apropos of not, I mean, we're talking college football, but I just happened to see this clip today of Rich Rodriguez, Rich Rod, the head football coach at West Virginia. Have you seen this? So he was just, he was having a press conference and he was talking about the running backs. I guess they do these crazy drills or whatever. And he was talking about how the running backs like were going to see a trainer, like just weren't completing the drills. This was so rare to me because we all know, speaking from, you know, Jim Larinaga to Nick Saban, where the players in college football today have all the control.
Are changing. Yes.
They, you know, Jim Larinaga, remember it was Joe Zagacki who would tell us at the end of last season. Well, by the end of last season, Jay Lucas was the coach, but when during Jim Larinaga's tenure that, guys just wouldn't practice. And there was no real recourse for Jim Larinaga to do anything. Mm-hmm. Because the player would go, well, okay, then I'll transfer.
y'all gave me my million. I'm out of here.
So it's a weird dynamic. And Rich Rod called out his running backs. You don't see this right now in college sports because the coaches don't have as much power as they once did. But this jumped out to me as like, wow, this is Crowder's kind of guy. Rich Rod in college, by the way, calling out the running backs and saying, yeah, I got to maybe look for new ones. Like, this is crazy to me, but it's like a minute long. But listen, listen to his press conference, this clip. It's really wild. Play that, Jimmy.
Just not.
Did they get an extra workout?
No, like you said, two running backs made it.
Myself and the coach?
No. I'm just curious what you meant by you only had two running backs make it through the workout.
Yeah, without tapping out. Well, no breaks. No, they get breaks during practice. I'm not talking. Like, if we had no trainers, no medical trainers, we probably have zero injuries because they had nobody to go to. We got 30 of them. So they're like, oh, where's the trainer at? And I got a great training staff. But no, I just say that. I just, like, what running backs finished the entire practice without tapping out somewhere? Or two. Now, I can play a game without running backs. I can run the quarterback or slot receiver. But I don't want to. I've always had really good running backs. I got good running backs here. I got a good group. But we finished with two. So if you think I'm not going to talk to my recruiting staff this afternoon, we're running a business. We got to helps to have some running backs.
That's so great. We're running a business, which you never see a coach say. Never used to see a coach say because it was always student athletics, right? And he's like, yeah, we're running a business, and I got to have workers.
Like, my workers don't want to work, Cock.
Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. We just, because we're on this training camp tour with the Pivot.
Yeah.
It's wild that when you sent that clip, I thought about – we just had Bijan Robinson on, and he said something about, he was like, man, I saw a clip on Instagram where a player was cussing at his coach. He was like, we would never cuss at our coach when I was in college. But to your point, bro, they're $1 million assets. Like, you can say what you want. And then we just did Lane Johnson in Philadelphia. He's in year 14. And I asked him, I was like, do you see a difference in the young guys? He laughed. He was like, oh, yeah, they're not built like us anymore. Because they're like, we talked about it. These kids are getting $1 million contracts at 18 years old.
And if you don't want my services for the million, there's a team over there that'll give me $1 million too. And they're not going to yell at me and make me run laps. They tell me, you know. And so, a guy like Rich Rodriguez is like, yeah, well, I need running backs and it's a business. And I just found it to be. It's refreshing. It's a little silly because you know, it's like Trump when he's like, yeah, well, don't test for COVID and the numbers are zero. So that's still perfect. And he's like, hey, if we don't have any trainers out there, nobody taps out because you can't go see a trainer. Well, that's probably not the right attitude as well. But there's got to be some sort of happy medium. But I get it. He's verbalizing a problem that many coaches are facing but don't have the wherewithal to deal with. And he's like, yeah, well, they're going to keep tapping out. I got to talk to the recruiting department. Find people who are going to play.
Oh, it's why Nick Saban said the hell with this. And it's been publicized while he was like this financial side and this new age athlete, the Instagram Twitter athletes are different. And it's why I'm so interested to see how Bill Belichick deal with it at North Carolina, because he's going to have to.
So fascinated by how this story ends up.
This is not going to last that long. But I tell my kids this story. And they think I'm crazy, and I'm just dad. And they're okay, dad, yeah. You died on Saturday. You played on Sunday. You had 14 tackles. They've heard all my stories. But we would run at Florida until you're coughing and tasting blood. Like, literally, I know it sounds crazy, but you're and you can taste iron. And that's when we knew, myself, Kewon Ratliff, I can go through the list. T&J, and I'm like, bro, y'all tasting blood? They're like, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, Brian Crum, I'm like, yeah, man, we probably done ran enough. If I have $1 million in the bank, why am I gonna run this hard? Like, I even think about myself who love to work. I am not running till I taste blood if I got $2-5-3 million in the bank. Hey, we run 10-100. Y'all want to go grab something to eat? It's a different concept right now.
Money, you know, people always say, oh, money wouldn't change me. Yes, it would.
It would.
Yes, it would. You're lying if you say it won't.
But they always say it. That's a flat out lie.
Everybody says it. It is a flat out lie.
Yep. I don't buy jewelry and all that stuff, but I enjoy life.
Nice to walk through an airport with TSA pre-check and get onto a first class flight and have a driver waiting for it. Yes. I'm not saying everybody is going to act like Hammer carrying around a briefcase filled with $300,000, but money changes. I don't care what anybody says.
Yeah. I got a little money. I still get insufficient fund text. We always joke about it.
Well, that's a real personality flaw that you have.
But I have somebody at old Morgan Stanley I can call and get that thing shot on over.
Well, just keep enough money in the account. You don't have to call anybody.
No. I just got insufficient fund. We went to Title Cove this weekend, and you had to buy the room. I keep about $3,800 in my account, period, at all times. Buy the room 2 nights. Then you got to get the cabana. Then you have to pay for, you know, drinks and food for the kids. We had some friends come. And yeah, the guy brought the bill back. He was like, Mr. Crowder, it got declined. I said, okay, well, try this one.
Yeah, that's
we'll figure this thing out on the back end.
That's how you know money changes a person, by the way, when he goes, you have to get the cabana. You know what I mean? You don't have to get the cabana. You don't have to get the cabana.
Oh, it was 103 degrees out there. I need a little shade, brother.
Chris Perkins is going to join us to talk some Miami Dolphins football this hour. So let's get headlines with Dan Day, who's subbing in for Solana this week. Headlines brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory. Oh, I'm doing the old copy, and Dan Day gave me a new copy today, and I forgot to put it in. Doral Hyundai, the number one Hyundai store in the nation, just went full beast mode. Doral Hyundai, where the deals are monstrous, and the prices don't survive. No one sells for less. No one.
Hey, Zach Sealer, go ahead and get that cabana.
Zach got cabana money now. Right? Yeah, get five cabana. 44 mil guaranteed. He got cabana money.
3-year extension, $67.75 million, $22.5 million annually. He is now the Dolphins' highest-paid defensive player and their cabana guy. Not like the server. He's their guy that goes and hangs out in the cabana.
Yeah, there was probably a time in college where he thought he might actually be the cabana guy, the guy working in the cabana. Instead, he's going to own all the cabanas.
What a story. Ferris State. Ferris State at Michigan, playing football at an FCS school, living in an RV with his wife, and now,
whew. It's absolutely amazing. Yeah, generational wealth, the stroke of a pen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Man, awesome.
Marlins sounds so good to say it. They swept the Yankees for the first time.
Wild.
In the organization's history, they swept the Yankees. And now they're the only Major League Baseball team that has an overall winning record lifetime against the Bronx Bombers at 25-24. Big Bad Astros come to town tonight at 6:40. Sandy Alcantara gets the start for the Fish.
Yo, Sandy. Keep doing your thing, man.
Inter Miami got a big shootout win against Mexico's Necaxa 5-4 on Saturday. Lionel Messi left the game 8 minutes into the game with a minor muscle injury. He will be out indefinitely. The Herons, they face another Mexican team in league's play Wednesday, 7:30 in Pumas.
I was in Atlanta over the weekend. I told you I went to see the Premier League summer tour. So I saw Bournemouth and West Ham yesterday afternoon, and then Man U played after them at 5, but we left at that point. We had other things to do. And we're the only people that only stayed for the Bournemouth game and left for Man U, because like the Bournemouth game is half empty, and then by the time the Man U game rolled around, there's 50,000 people there at Mercedes-Benz, and we're like, yeah, time to head out.
Hey, isn't Mercedes-Benz an awesome stadium?
Incredible. That scoreboard is incredible. I was really impressed.
My sister and brother-in-law, they have season tickets to the Falcons, and they kept telling me about it, and I ended up going up there for some game, and I was like, oh, okay, I see why y'all always brag about it.
It is impressive. Yeah. We had a good time in that city. We really did. I hadn't been to Atlanta probably in 20 years. It was we had fun. We went to Bones for dinner one night, Marcel for dinner another night. We spent some time at Ponce Market, which is like a big market and food hall, which we like. We did that. What is that?
Ponce City Market.
Yeah, Ponce City Market.
Ponce City Market, that's where we were. And then walked past the College Football Hall of Fame and Olympic Park and World of Coca-Cola. Oh, I had Mellow Yellow Zero.
Oh, whoa.
I saw.
Terrible.
It's bad off.
Terrible. Usually the zero flavors taste as good as the regular flavors.
Yeah.
This Mellow Yellow Zero was awful. Couldn't believe how bad it was.
I think Dr. Pepper threw us off, Hawk, because the Dr. Pepper Zero is delicious.
Spot on. You can't tell the difference between Dr. Pepper Full Sugar and Dr. Pepper Zero.
Okay. Mellow Yellow, you could tell the difference.
Yeah, about 76 grams of sugar less and nothing to make up for it.
Oh, okay. How did it feel to be the minority? Because I know Atlanta.
It's pretty wild. It is. It's wild. Like it really is eye opening. Because it is. I mean, it feels like it's 80% black city.
Yeah.
It's probably not that. Well, maybe metro. Yeah, maybe it is.
I know exactly.
Yeah.
I know where you're staying when you're talking about the places you're going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hawk, you were.
I was with the Ticket Wizard, Mrs. Wizard, and my wife, and we sat down at a fried chicken place called Gus's Fried Chicken. We wanted to get some fried chicken and lemonade and whatever.
Yeah.
We're sitting. We're just not getting any service. Barry looked at me. He goes, "You know why we're not getting any service?" I go, "Oh, I know."
Who got the white folks? I ain't going over there.
Man, that was real fried chicken because the plate came. It was like a styrofoam plate, and it had the chicken was sitting on a piece of white bread. I'm like, oh, here we go.
it's eye opening. That's why I asked, because I've been with
it. Is it's eye opening? It really
is. It's eye opening to be in there in DC, and I've been with people in there. They look around, kind of like, oh, damn, this is different. I'm like, yeah, it's different.
Definitely.
But Hawk, for the most part, David Lee Roth, Mellow Yellow Zero, both zeros, terrible.
both underperformed.
So I got to ask, what was the final score of the Bournemouth, Aaron, as Alejandro Solana would say, West Ham game?
Yeah, West Ham 2-0 over Bournemouth. Bournemouth had chances first 15 minutes, man. They dominated the play. They had one go off the post, one go off the crossbar. Just was what it was.
Hmm. All right, well, here's some NBA notes. De'Aaron Fox and the Spurs have agreed to a $229 million max extension.
Not a bad extension for him.
There was talk that Tyler Hero.
Good?
Yeah, he's good.
I mean, if Tyler Hero's getting 40 mil a season, which is what was he looking for?
He wants
42 mil a season. If he's worth that, then De'Aaron Fox is certainly worth whatever he gets.
Yeah.
On to weather. Overcast, still really hot. Around 92 degrees here in South Florida with a chance of rain throughout the day.
All right, we'll talk a little Dolphins with Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel in the next segment.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
Somebody has dubbed me on the text machine Bad Bet Bunny. Dolphins training camp is here, by the way, and the season is not that far away, and you've got Canes camp and Heat and Panthers and Marlins news, all that stuff. Keep up with it all on our podcast, which is available on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps. So make Hockman, Crowder, and Solana your favorite show, and you can listen to us on Odyssey, AUDACY, iHeartRadio, or the TuneIn app, and enjoy what we bring you, like Chris Perkins, who is joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, columnist for the Sun Sentinel. He's covered the Dolphins for many years. You know, I heard Perk on with you guys, Crowder, last week, and I texted him.
Yep.
And I said, I didn't know that you could come on with us. I thought he had a deal with Big O. And he's like, no, I always thought it was very interesting that I only got invited on the show when you weren't there. And I said, yeah, shadow ban you. Marlins are going to shadow ban Matt Mervis. I'm going to shadow ban Perk.
Don't shadow ban Perk. I like Perk.
I'm ending the shadow ban. Hopefully the Marlins will call up Matt Mervis and the shadow ban. So Chris Perkins joining us now. Hello, Perk.
Hey, I got a lot of pressure on me now, don't I?
You're the man, Perk.
I don't want to go back to where I just came out of. So let's do it. I'm going to try to be good.
Pressure is a privilege. That's the same.
Right. That's right. Pressure is a privilege.
That's it.
So let's start with Zach Sealer. That's the big Dolphins news, I guess. He gets the 3-year extension worth over $67 million, 44 mil guaranteed. I know you're a fan of his just reading your work. So I'm imagining that you're happy they rewarded him this way.
Yeah, I'm happy for a few reasons. Number one, Zach Sealer is a good guy who does things the right way, and it's nice to see him get rewarded. Number two, he's a guy that for the Dolphins, if you're trying to set a new culture, this is one of the guys you want to be at the forefront of that, right? And then number three, I mean, the dude can play, right? He's the only interior defensive lineman in the league right now who is coming off of back-to-back 10-sack seasons. So for a lot of reasons, I'm very happy to see Sealer get this money. And look, and to the other guys who are coming around with money up, Devon Achane, Jalen Phillips, I'm sure it's nice to see one of their guys get rewarded because you've seen so much Christian Wilkins and Rob Hunt and Javon Holland. It's good to see one of your guys get rewarded. So a lot of reasons I'm very happy to see this.
And Perk, he's $22 million a year now. He's three downs now. He got to go. They're gonna get the butt out of the duck, aren't they?
Oh yeah. And look, and that's what Sealer said. You know, Sealer said because he said I'm gonna live up to this contract. You know, I'm gonna exceed this contract. And so I think that he will because look, you know, the Dolphins had the number 9 rush defense last year, and Sealer was a big part of that. So not only does he get to the quarterback, he stops that run. Sealer's going to continue. He's not the type who's going to slack off.
Who have you seen during camp this year where you say, that surprises me on the upside? Like, wow, he looks really good. And conversely, who have you seen where you say to yourself, surprising me on the downside here. I expected more out of him.
Man, on the upside, Storm Duck is one of the easy ones. I mean, this dude has really impressed. And we saw Storm last year, but, you know, he was the undrafted rookie out of Louisville. There weren't a whole lot of expectations for him. That job was open. Two jobs were open this year because of, you know, Jalen Ramsey and Kendall Fuller both being gone. Storm Duck has stepped up, even with expectations early in camp that the job is open. He secured that job early in camp, and he's lived up to it. At running back, Alexander Mattison, a guy that a lot of people, including myself, thought was a short yardage specialist. Look, we see this man using his quick feet to get into holes. We see this man running off, breaking off 8, 10, 12-yard runs. He's been good. The list of guys that have been good in this camp is actually fairly long. You take last year's top two picks, Chop Robinson and Patrick Paul. You take this year's first two picks, Kenneth Grant and Jonah Savainaya. All four of those guys have been good. You know Tua's been good. You know Waddle has been good. On the downside, man, I hate to take the low-hanging fruit of Cam Smith, but he's there. We haven't seen Darren Waller out there at all. I don't know what's going on there. And probably, I mean, oh, I got to mention Willie Gay, right, as somebody who is on the upside also. Downside, you know, aside from Cam and Darren Waller, I nobody else really comes to mind based on expectations off the top of my head. There is a lot of good going on in this camp. I'll say this now. I still have the Dolphins as a 9-win team. You can take that as negative or positive, but I do think that the positive is outweighing the negative at this point of camp.
And people ask me about the linebackers, man. Willie Gay, you're the third person brought him up. Dotson, Brooks. I saw Brooks from last year. He's a banger.
Yep.
Can the linebackers play? Because you're talking about changing a identity of a team. I think the linebackers have a big aspect in that. When you know dudes, if you come across that middle, you might get your helmet knocked off.
Oh, yeah. And look, Channing, I have been saying I'm excited about this front seven. And early in camp, I had said these inside backers might be the best and deepest unit on the team. And I know that's not sexy because they're inside linebackers, but you have Jordan Brooks, who led the team in tackles last year with, I believe, 143. Terrell Dotson, who led the team in interceptions with 3. And behind them, Willie Gay, who has been one of the best playmakers in camp, and also KJ Britt. I mean, they're loaded at that position. And I'll say this also, that I do think that this team, when you talk about those inside backers, this team is getting a little bit more physical. I wrote yesterday that it looks like they're getting the starting offensive line right. I know A.J. Austin Jackson is out, but it looks like they're getting the starting offensive line right. The depth is not there at all. I have no faith in the depth. But those starting five, I have faith in them. And I wrote for today that, look, it looks like some physicality is coming to both sides of the line of scrimmage, the trenches, because you look at the top four picks of the last couple of years, Chop and Patrick Paul and Grant and Savainaya. You look at them locking up Sealer. You look at them getting James Daniels. They're getting more physical in practice. We'll see how that translates to Chicago and Detroit in joint practices. But, again, I do see good things, more positive than negative, coming out of this camp and coming out of this team so far.
Yeah, you mentioned the joint practices. I'd ask Crowder at the beginning of the show today, if you're a team trying to change the narrative that you're soft, or, you know, one of the code words that Crowder uses, like what, that they're athletic,
gentle,
you know, it's like,
pleasant.
Yeah, agile. like if you're trying to change, if you're trying to change that narrative, might you try to make a statement Friday in a joint practice with Chicago? Like maybe just play with, I don't want to say the intent to be violent, but maybe you make a statement at a joint practice to kind of put the league on notice.
Violence. The word violent needs to be put back in football because it's violent sport. I hate
right.
it.
Get
nobody violence, wants to say
Friday.
Violent
what do you
anymore.
Think, Kirk?
Yeah, no, I agree with Crowder. It is a violent game, and the Dolphins try to out-cute people and out-think people and out-run people. The Dolphins were bringing a 7-on-7 mentality to tackle football. So, yeah, Chicago is a team that tried to revamp that offensive line, right, so they could protect the quarterback. So you need to get after them. The other thing is, when you go to Detroit, you know Dan Campbell is going to bring it, right? He constructed one of the most physical teams in the league. You better not go up there and get punched in the mouth for two or three straight days. So, yeah, whether you're trying to make a statement or not, you better bring it. You better do something in those two joint practice sessions.
Hey, Perk, when I was coaching high school football, I got called into the principal's office because I told my players to be violent. And they told me we're not allowed to use that word anymore. Say physical or, you know, just use different words because violent is a nasty word nowadays. But speaking of those joint practices, Perk, should we protect anybody? It's starting with Tua because Hawk and me went arguing all show about it. I don't think Tua needs to take a snap if anybody can touch him. Do we need to protect anybody in those joint practices? Because sometimes it's not worth it.
No, you bet. No, I'm not protecting anybody. That includes Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb, nobody. You're trying to set a mentality here. You're trying to get a mindset for this team, and you've got to be smart 100%. So maybe they don't go as many reps as they normally would, but I want all my guys out there, and I want the younger guys and everybody else on the team seeing Zach Sealer, you're gonna get out there and get after somebody. Chubb, Jalen Phillips, James Daniels. You know, you're not allowed to hit the quarterback, so you know, hopefully there's nobody on the Bears is trying to make a statement and be a tough guy and hit Tua. But you know, look, and we're gonna see what the backup right tackles can do, right? Without Austin Jackson. I'll tell you something else. When you're trying to be a physical team, we saw last year the run game took a nosedive when Austin Jackson and Alec Ingold were out. Guess what? You're going up to Chicago without either of them. Still be physical. Still set a tone. No excuses. Go up there and knock somebody's head in the dirt.
Any idea if any of the starters, significant starters, will get snaps on Sunday in Chicago? Tua, Tyreek, Jalen Waddle?
I doubt it. I doubt it. I think that, you know, from the game standpoint, the joint practice thing, yeah, go at it. But I think from the game standpoint, the way it is now, you guys know the starters get the work in joint practices, and in the preseason game, that's usually going to be your backups and your third teamers and the guys who need to make the roster. So I'm not expecting any of those guys to get any kind of meaningful playing time on Sunday. And maybe, you know, during preseason, maybe they get a couple of series, but that's probably going to be about it.
And Perk, should I be watching the corners a little more than everybody else? That would be my thing. Is right now, like you're saying, Kader Kohu's out. We know, you know, Artie Burns gets hurt. They brought in some young guys. Was that an emphasis on your watching as well in this first game?
100%. We got to see what these cornerbacks are about. You got to see if you need to go out and start looking for some help, Rasul Douglas, Stephon Gilmore, or can you wait until the cuts are made at the end of camp? But yeah, you got to see, what have you got? You kind of know what you got in Storm Duck, but what have you got in Jack Jones, Mike Hilton, Kendall Sheffield, Cam Smith, Ethan Bonner? You got to see if these guys can contribute on special teams and from scrimmage. So yeah, these cornerbacks, I'm eyeing them with suspicion right now. They need to come through. They need to show me something. I understand that you're going up against Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle in practice, and you got Tua throwing the ball, but you're going to go up against guys of that caliber in the regular season, so it's good that you're getting used to it. And I'll say this. You see some of these corners making some progress. The coverage has been improving, but you don't see them making plays. You don't necessarily see them batting down passes, making interceptions. So I want to see them be able to cover but also be able to make that next step of playmaking. I'm going to be looking at these corners for a lot of different things this week and on Sunday.
And Perk, tell Hawk, because he always makes fun of me, tell him I was white on rice in coverage. There was nobody open if I was in front of him.
Oh, no, like stink on a monkey, right? That's it, baby. Perk. That was it.
Perk, I was watching the games, too. I wasn't blind back then.
No, I'm going to take that for Channing. Go ahead, yeah. Go watch the All-22. I'm going to take off for my man Crowder. That's right. Yeah.
Still has Frank Gore's imprint on his chest from a UM game in the 90s.
Hey, why y'all bringing up old stuff? Come on now.
Perk, How fair is that to just bring up Frank Gore and Antonio Gates and these? Bro, yeah, they're Hall of Famers, man. Just, you know, I did all
that. Who are your sacks on? Tell who are your sacks on? Because you're right. We gotta bring down the
who was the big JP Lossman.
JP Lossman, that was it. JP Lossman.
What was the big light skinned boy in Tampa? Freeman.
Josh Freeman.
Yeah.
I'm bringing him down. That's it. Bringing him down.
There you go, Bert. I put some.
I mean, the dude intercepted Tom Brady. You don't need anything else on the resume. Intercept Tom Brady to clinch a win. That's all you need on your resume.
The GOAT, man. You outplayed the GOAT. I like it. That's it.
Yes, sir.
Interesting what you said, though, at the beginning here about Darren Waller. I hadn't realized that he hasn't been seen. We have an Odell situation on our hands here, Perk.
Ooh, man. This could be anywhere from, you know, well, Shaq Barrett never, at least Waller has reported. But, yeah, this could be Shaq Barrett, Odell. It's treading into some very dangerous territories here. And look, Waller seems like a really likable guy. I'll tell you this. Frank Smith, the offensive coordinator, was asked about him today, and you know they go back to the Raiders days. Frank Smith got choked up. Frank Smith got emotional talking about Darren Waller. You could kind of hear his voice cracking a little bit, and it was, you know, we were all just kind of looking at each other like, wow. So hopefully Waller doesn't disappoint Frank Smith, doesn't disappoint himself, but, yeah, that was an interesting moment that we had today. Hopefully Waller gets out there because they need a receiving tight end. They need a receiving tight end badly.
Are they saying why he's not out there? Is it just conditioning?
They just said he's not in football shape. That's all that they're willing to say, whatever that means. And you
right.
Look, the guy is in good physical shape, and I know football shape is different, but if you're not out there hitting somebody, how are you going to get in football shape?
Right. Yeah, that's interesting.
But Perk, is it a, I don't know, like you said, he got choked up. Is it a mental thing or is it physical? Because we know he had his past. We know he retired and divorced and, you know, mental health and all that stuff. Yeah. Is any of that come up?
We don't know. We have not asked about that. You know, it's kind of a topic that, you know, the way Mike McDaniel said it, you could, and McDaniel does not expound on things like this very often. He's very player friendly from the standpoint of, I'm not putting your business out there in the street. And when the way McDaniel said he's not in football shape, you could tell he's not going to expound on it. That's all you're going to get. So we haven't really revisited that, but it's going to be time to revisit it. If he's not out there for joint practices, it's going to be time to revisit that topic and kind of drill down a little bit more.
Man, interesting. Chris Perkins, read his work in the Sun Sentinel. Follow Perk on Twitter and make sure you subscribe to the Sun Sentinel or the Sun Sentinel app so that they are rewarded for all the hard work that they put in. Thank you, Perk.
All right, Hawk. I hope to be back, man.
I think you earned another spot. We going right, week to week on deal. Him, Crowder, or we give him the nod for the whole season.
Okay, you shadow banned him. I ain't shadow banned him.
I'll talk to y'all in November.
I mean, we had Perk on the air. Now your move, Marlins. Right. Time to bring up Matt Mervis. Your move. See you, Perk. We appreciate
all right,
it.
Guys.
Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel. We'll take a break. 4 o'clock hour is next.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I'm just saying that I'm Hawk. We talk Tua. Hawk Tua.